Hello everybody, it's George of Ireland, so thank you for coming to my channel once again. I'm saying how Rachel Reeves is a cataclysmic Chancellor of the Exchequer. So Miss Reeves was appointed to that office on the 5th of July last year when Labour was ushered into office after 14 years in opposition. And as she seldom misses an opportunity to remind us, she's the first woman to hold that office, smashing the glass ceiling. But the trouble is, Labour seems to be far more preoccupied with identity politics than competence, promoting someone who knows what she or indeed he is doing and can do a decent job. Now, before people say, what about Kwasi Kwarteng, Liz Truss as a fiscal event? Yes, some Conservative chancellors of the Exchequer have been cataclysmic, and Dr. Kwarteng would be a case in point. Unfortunately, the Conservatives changed him very quickly. Well, actually, Liz Truss threw him under bus, someone who'd been her friend for 20 years, but she only lasted about another 6 days. So Rachel Reeves, having read philosophy, politics, economics at Oxford, worked in the Bank of England, well, would seem to have an excellent background, just the right CV for the position, though tellingly, after she became Chancellor, she changed her CV about what exactly her role was. So she'd been lying for decades. So it's something we're going to have to get used to. But the news has just got worse and worse. And they trash-talked the economy for months before the budget. Either going to say, oh, we looked at the book, situation's far worse than we realised. They should have been just before the budget. Instead of giving months for the economy to sink, for talking down the United Kingdom's economy, the feel-good factor is gone. People unwilling to hire, unwilling to spend, unwilling to invest, and so on. And that's why it's killed growth, where there's been zero growth since Labour took office. Admittedly, some of that will be a hangover from the Conservative government. We can't say that everything from the 5th of July is completely disconnected from the previous Conservative government. So there've been a lot of bad news lately. The pound has sunk. The cost of borrowing is the highest cost, is the highest in 27 years. And so on. So it's a lot worse than Liz Truss's fiscal event. So the yield on 30-year gilts is now 5.25%. So that is horrendous. So, and obviously borrowing is an essential part of the budget. The government has to service the debt, which means there's less money for everything else. It looked like they were going to raise taxes anyway, so they're going to raise them again. Where they're going to cut spending, and obviously Labour's into tax and spend anyway. So dishing out money to their chums in the public sector, trade unions, perhaps billions of pounds for people who were minors 40 years ago, you know, arts grants, some overseas aid. I'm not sure there'd be more diversity, equity and inclusion officers, DEI, which obviously discrimination. And what else does it, the E stand for? Exclusion, I suppose, inequality, bigotry, racism, sexism is what they're promoting, that they can't actually tell you what a woman is, and so forth. So it's all very bad news. Raising taxes and reducing growth, and indeed Conservatives have done so. Margaret Thatcher's government in the mid-1980s, they raised taxes. Just because the Conservatives are bad, and they sometimes are, it doesn't mean that Labour should be let off the hook. So there are all sorts of problems, and they're largely of her making. So raising tax on school fees for independent schools. And that's caused at least three schools to go bust already. That's just the beginning. There are not that many independent schools. There are a few hundred in the United Kingdom, educating about 7% of British children. Now, some of these schools bring in pupils from overseas, and that's money's coming into the United Kingdom. And it won't come in if there are no schools to go to, or fewer schools. The school someone from Hong Kong or Brazil or wherever was going to attend is no longer there. So the money's not coming in. So it's very, very foolish. Raising the national insurance, and obviously the employer pays some, the employee and the government. Well, employers are saying it's actually too expensive to hire people. And so there are certain sectors of the economy which are heavily reliant on low-cost labour. The hospitality sector, like hotels, restaurants, and so on. The care sectors, and looking after people in nursing homes. Sanitary services. Agricultural labourers. These are often low-skilled jobs. You don't need to be literate, really. You don't even speak English to do some of these jobs. Honestly, I've known people who can't speak any English who do these jobs. Not to say they're lacking in intelligence. They could be highly intelligent, but they just can't speak English, at least not at the beginning. It's that their profit margins are very narrow, and they're gone. So often they can't charge people more, can't get away with it, can't cut corners, cut costs, because that would mean unsafe food, would be unsafe for the elderly people in the care home and so forth. So it's, you know, reducing the number of people in employment. And of course, you have over 6 million adults of working age in the United Kingdom who are not economically active, not because they're housewives or household husbands, not students. Are they actively seeking work? Usually not, because they're so-called ill on the sick. Now, this started under Margaret Thatcher to hide the scale of unemployment. We were allowed to go on the sick. It was 15%, 15% in the mid-1980s. And it was only about 2% in the middle years of Tony Blair. I can't sure what it is now, but, you know, officially fairly low, like 5%. In reality, much higher. But that's often because people refuse to work and they go on universal credit. They claim to have mental health, to have anxiety. Now, I know mental health exists. Depression is real, but is it too easily diagnosed? Obviously, I'm not a psychiatrist. I can't diagnose it. But why is this incidence far, far higher than in any previous generation, when in many ways our lives are easier, even for the poorest people? We all get 3 meals a day, but they're reliant on food banks. They still get 3 meals a day. Compare that to the 19th century, people dying of starvation in the United Kingdom. We have the National Health Service. You know, we have all these services to house homeless people. They might be out on the streets for a while, be given tents and sleeping bags and all the rest of it, but eventually they are given their own house for free. And I know a homeless person who went from that situation to having his own flat for free for life in about 2 years. Someone is completely able-bodied. So in a way, there's less real reason to be anxious than ever before. So some of them maybe are convinced, but some of them, I suppose, are skivers, and they're people conniving in the public sector, partly to blackguard the rapscallion Tories as they see it. But now Labour's in office, how are they going to end it? So Labour's just making it much, much worse, and partly by Rachel Reeves. So will she be got rid of? It's hard to see anything that she succeeded on. This, what is it, 50 million black billion black hole keeps growing. Well, you know, all the accounts are shared. All the accounts are public. Jeremy Hunt, now Shadow Chancellor Exchequer, has laid out chapter and verse that Labour knew exactly what the situation was. There were no surprises for them. And they pretended were. And actually, some journalists, even before the election, said, and this is Labour's game plan, presumably it leaked out of the Labour Party, they're going to lie through their teeth, claiming that there is way more spending commitments, there's money coming in, and they're going to have to do this, and it's not true, to justify tax rises, which they want to do anyway for an ideological reasons. Of course, you know, they were rich Labour people, like multi-millionaires, like Keir Starmer. I don't begrudge him all that wealth, but if he really cares about the needy, put your hand in your own pocket and donate. But of course, he's never going to do that. Rachel Reeves and her husband, very wealthy there. She's on a salary of well over £150,000 a year, made an awful lot of money in banking, and her husband too. So why don't you give to the needy? But of course, they're not going to do that. That's for people on ordinary incomes like me, or people on low incomes. They'll take their money and give it to people who refuse to work, or putting up people who've come into the country illegally in four-star hotels, when it's very easy to be generous with other people's money. And I also blame the Conservative Party having done the same. But I don't think that Starmer will get rid of her. She's too big a beast. It would be a massive admission of failure. So I think she'll stay all the way through 2025. 2025, 2026, I'm not sure. Towards the next election, might be dumped just for the next election. Depends. Does the situation deteriorate dramatically? Does it flatline or what? It's very hard to see it picking up. Now, admittedly, this is contagion from other countries like Germany, where the economic growth is slow. The United States is actually very healthy. Apart from inflation, it was very healthy in terms of growth, the stock market, unemployment. In Biden's administration, he's still president for a few more days. Thanks for watching the channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.